be home after being away for 3 weeks. I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the service today, but we're beginning a new series today, What Does the Bible Say? About five questions that you have been asking me over and over this year. In fact, more even the last couple of months than even the previous months. And so we're going to look at these five critical questions and see what the Bible has to say about these most relevant issues to our lives. But I just want to tell you up front, the five questions, we're also going to build another message into this series, and that's the answer to how to best live, or what do we do in light of the answers to these questions. It's practice the presence of God. And so that's what we're going to focus on next week. In other words, if you want to know how to get ready for the last days and the end of the world, practice the presence of God. If you want to overcome thoughts of depression or suicide, or recover from the suicide of somebody you love, we're going to look at that in 2 weeks. There's no doubt you will not make it through that unless you practice the presence of God. If you want to honor God regarding sexuality, very controversial issues of our day, practice the presence and the Word of God. That's why next week I've asked Howard Brammer, my good friend, to come and be here. Recently retired pastor from Traders Point Christian Church, and I think he's the most qualified person I know to talk about practicing the presence of God. When you're with him, he sings, just starts going into songs of worship when you're with him. I mean all the time. He practices the presence of God. So I've asked him to be here next week. You do not want to miss that. But today we're going to begin with question number one. Are we living in the last days? I get why you've been asking me that, because you watch the world, right? When you see what's happening in the world all around us, you do kind of wonder, are we getting close to the end of the age when Jesus returns to end the world as we know it and begin that next phase of history? And you're curious about it because of ISIS and ISIL and Christians being murdered every single day somewhere in the world, and the diseases and illnesses that we don't have all the answers to. And some of the things that we see going on around us, Christians going through with the kind of thing they're going through, the weather around us. I mean, it's been the wettest July since 1835. We're setting records at the winter seasons and storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, and the Bible talks about all these things happening in the last days. So just how close are we to the last days? Well, let me give you a few interesting facts to kind of get us started here. Did you know that one out of every 30 verses in the Bible talks about the last days? So it's a huge theme in this large book called the Bible. 216 chapters contain over 300 references in the Bible about the last days. There are 27 books in the New Testament. 23 of them specifically talk about the last days. So we're going to talk about today, here's really the question we have today, what time is it in regard to the last days? If midnight will be when Jesus returns, what time is it? Is it 11? 11:15? Is it 11:58? What time is it? How close are we really to the very last day when Jesus will return to this world? Well, there's a story I heard a few pastors that I think kind of gets us ready for this day, because it's just where we are today. Two pastors in a small town were across the street from each other, their buildings were, and they would put signs out in front of their buildings every single day, and they were talking across the street back and forth. They both had these signs they'd put in front of their building. One of them had a sign in front of his that said, "Turn around before it's too late." The other guy had a sign that simply talked about the fact that it said the end of the world could come at any moment. Are you ready for the end of the world? And so about that time, some students drove through in a car, and they were just hooping and hollering, and they saw the pastors out there and their signs about the end of the world, and as they drove through, they yelled out of their car, you guys are always trying to scare us about the end of the world. Woo, the end of the world. And so they turned the corner, and about that time you heard these tires go screech, and you heard a big splash. And one pastor yelled to the other one across the street, "You know, maybe we should have put up the sign that said, bridge out ahead." Now, I don't care who you are, that is funny right there. That's really funny, okay? So the deal is we're going to throw a lot of scriptures at you today. So I hope you're ready to roll with me. Have your Bibles or you're on your app. If you have your Bible there, we're going to put scriptures on the screen, but get a pen or a pencil. I had in one semester a study in seminary on eschatology, the study of end things, and at the same semester I had to study through the book of Revelation. So I'm going to kind of give you a year's worth of study in about 40 minutes. Can you say write fast? Get your pen, get your pencil, and let's dig in here. There's some notes here. There's a study guide you can reflect on later in the week to talk about folks in your life. We're going to try to cover a lot of turf here, and two main passages we're going to look at. The first one is Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, Jesus responds to a question. You know, most of Jesus' teaching came when somebody said, "Can we ask you a question?" He would say, "Sure," and then he would teach out of the question, and that's what we're doing these weeks. You've said, "Can I ask you a question, Pastor?" So we're going to answer that question, those questions for you today, and that's what happened in Matthew 24. Let's start in verse 3, and we read that Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately, and they said, "Would you tell us when will all this happen?" Okay, all this end of the world kind of talk's going to happen. "What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" So the disciples asked this question: what will be the signs at the end of the world? They want to know that question. Jesus looked from the Mount of Olives on the city. I've sat there twice at the Mount of Olives looking at the city, and Jesus was there, and he talked about this in detail in Matthew chapter 24. It's a long chapter, but it's a critical read. Would you read it before the day is over? Go ahead and read through the entire chapter. But it's because Jesus is the one who's going to be returning at the end of the world, so he gives a pretty thorough description of some signs you could look for to let us know this event is getting closer and closer. But I just need to kind of give you the spoiler alert out of the front. Are we living in the last days? The answer is, I don't know. Maybe we are. Could be. Don't really know that for sure, but what are some of the signs that we can see in the world that tell us maybe we're getting closer and closer to the last days? And that's why we just want to get you ready for the second coming. We really want you to be ready, and that's why next week we thought question week two has to be, if you want to get ready for the return of Christ, it's practicing the presence of God. There's nothing more important than learning how to talk with God, experience life with God, day in and day out here till when he comes. It's just like, okay, God, I've been walking through with you every day, and so now we're going to do it face to face. But I will tell you, I believe we're living in the last days. But I also will tell you that every believer and every generation since Jesus left believed they were living in the last days. But I think it really could happen in our lifetime, because there are some unique things that have happened in our lifetime, especially within the last 10 years or so, that really make me wonder if we are beginning to see the fulfillment of prophecy and the end times. Because I also believe, as I've studied Scripture, that everything that needs to happen before Jesus returns has happened. I really believe it could happen today. I do. There are some very knowledgeable Christian people, I will tell you, who know the Bible very, very well, and they believe that these signs Jesus gives and the signs of the book of Revelation are all figurative. And they may be figurative, it's entirely possible. Or these signs may be very literal. For the sake of our discussion today, I think it's important that we assume they're literal. Let's just assume that, okay? So what are the signs that we can see literally that Jesus talked about to prepare us for the last days? Well, let me suggest three of them just to get us started. First of all, there's the regathering of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. That's the first sign Jesus talked about. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 16, verse 15, they will say, "As surely as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel back to their own land from the land of the north," it says, "and from all the countries to which he had exiled them, for I will bring them back to this land that I gave to their ancestors." So in other words, when Jesus comes back, the Jewish people will no longer focus on being set free from Egyptian slavery, but they're going to be pumped about the restoration of people coming back to their homeland of Israel, the regathering of the people of Israel, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, their forefathers. Isaiah prophesied similarly in Isaiah 11, verse 12. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel, and he will gather the scattered people from Judah. It says, of Judah, from the ends of the earth. The regathering of the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth, you know, there's some great miracles in the Old Testament. This will be the greatest miracle the Jewish people have ever seen in their lives. If, in fact, this is literal, and Jews are going to come from around the world back to Israel, and Jesus returns, it's a fascinating miracle. It will top all miracles that have ever happened. Well, let's review a little history for just a minute. In 1900, there were about 40,000 Jews living in the land of Israel, called Palestine in those days. After World War II, there were about 500,000 people, Jews, who were living in Israel after World War II. Do you know how many Jews are living in Israel today? 6.3 million. And they're coming back to Israel from Russia, the continent of Europe. They're coming back from Africa and Ethiopia and America in droves. It is happening in our lifetime. Here's another sign: the reclamation of the land of Israel. See, the land itself of Israel over the centuries, of course, began to become desolate and barren and destroyed. Let's start again in 1900. There were only 17,000 trees in the land of Israel. Now, see, why is that relevant? Because the Turks controlled the land in 1900, and they taxed people based on how many trees you had. So if you want to cut down your taxes, cut down trees. Don't you wish it were that easy today? So they started cutting down trees. That's why when you hear people say today they're going back to Israel, often they'll say, we're going to all plant a tree when we're there. Okay? Because one of the signs of life coming back. So let me give you some numbers. 1900, there were 17,000 trees. You know how many trees are in Israel today? 450 million trees. It's lush now. 100 years ago, this area called the Valley of Armageddon, and I've looked at it twice now, it is lush. Just this one little spot where planes land. The rest of it is very lush. It is just beautiful. But you know what it was a long time ago? It was a malaria-infested marshland completely. But now it's one of the highest pieces of food-producing areas per square foot in the entire world. We've seen this happen before our eyes in this generation. Ezekiel talked about this. Ezekiel 36, verse 35, when I bring you back, people are going to say, this former wasteland, it's now like the Garden of Eden. The abandoned and ruined cities now have strong walls and are filled with people. And Bo, we saw with our eyes on the two trips we were there. Here's a third sign. It's the rebirth of Israel as a nation. And this happened in 1948. Ezekiel 17, verse 12 said, I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Now, about 70 AD, the nation of Israel was completely destroyed, considered dead as a nation. The Romans absolutely pummeled Jerusalem. And so people were scattered everywhere throughout the planet, okay? On throughout the world for the next 18 centuries. Have you ever heard of Scofield's Study Bible? He did that in the early 1900s. You know what he wrote in the margin in the early 1900s? The nation of Israel will be destroyed. And people laughed at him. He said, the nation of Israel will be restored, he said. It'll be restored. And people laughed at him. Why, it's been over 1,800 years, it's been no nation. You say Israel's going to be destroyed? That is bizarre. But guess what happened? Write down the date on May 14th, 1948. 3 years after the Holocaust, a handful of Jewish people were there. And they declared, we're a nation again after 1,900 years. Let's go back to Matthew 24, verse 32. Jesus said, now let's learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud, its leaves begin to sprout, you can know that the summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know that his return is very near. It's right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. What generation? The generation, the people who see the Jewish nation return to be a nation. See, many people believe the fig tree is a reference to the land of Israel. That means the generation who witnessed 1948 would be the generation when Jesus would return. Stay with me now. There's a 90th psalm I read at every funeral I have when people die, the average age length. The average age length still is between 70 and 80 years. It's still, with all of our advancements medically, that's the average length of life. Psalm 90 said 70 years are given to us, that's the average length, or 80 if we have the strength. Some even have 80, it says. They go to 80. So if you are a smart mathematician right now, you're thinking 70 to 80 years added to 1948 would be 2018, and 80 years would be 2028. So you just might write down a note and put this outline somewhere where you can pick it up in 2028 and pull it out on January 1st, 2029. And if Jesus hadn't come back, say, Steve missed that one. Now, I don't know if it's going to be between 2018 and 28, but there are some folks who really believe that. They really do. So back to the question, are we living in the last days? Maybe. Could be. Here's the bigger question. How do we respond to this information? Hold your place in Matthew 24, and we're going to come back to it, but turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, this was written to Christians being persecuted in the first century in Turkey. What's Turkey now? It was called Asia Minor back then. They were dying regularly, and they were saying, Lord, when? How long is this going to last? When will the last day come? When will Jesus end all of this torture for us believers? So they were taught much about the second coming of Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 3, they were told, most importantly, I want to remind you, in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. And they will say, oh, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again from before the times of our ancestors? Everything has remained the same since the world was first created. Nothing ever changes. They deliberately forget, though, he writes, that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command. And then he brought the earth out of from the water, and he surrounded it with water. And then he used that water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood that we historically now know. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. Now, underline this. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Okay, God is not bound by our timetable. He said, I'm coming quickly. So for him, a day is like 1,000 years. It hasn't been very long that he's been gone. God is not limited by our timetable in that way. And there are a group of Jewish scholars who believe this verse speaks about 7 days of civilization on the earth before Christ returns. 7 civilizations. What does that mean? 7,000 years, and then Jesus will return. Well, let's do a little math. How many years existed of civilization before Jesus came to the earth? 4,000. Say 4,000. 4,000. Okay. 4,000 years before Christ came. And then Christ came, and how long has it been since Jesus left the earth? 2,000. So that would be 6,000, right? 6,000 years. And you're saying, okay, well, shoot, we got 1,000 years, man. Except if you interpret this literally, when the scriptures talk about the millennium, that means 1,000 years. Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. So if that's literally true, and all the prophecies have been fulfilled, Jesus could return today, and that last 1,000 years would start. Okay? And when he returns, that same interpretation believes believers that will be taken to heaven, and those who rejected Christ will be left on the earth. And it'll be a terrible place to be. And people have that opportunity to surrender to Christ in a very volatile environment. But nevertheless, I wonder when I hear those numbers, is it 1110? When you hear those numbers, I think it's 1158. Everybody okay? Some of you are going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like today? I mean, really, today? Why, cold season hadn't even started yet. I mean, really, today? Yeah, it could be today. We really don't know. We do know this, though. Verse 9 says, in the next verse here of 2 Peter 3, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise of returning. As we think, we'll think it's been 6,000 years or more. But no, it's 6 days on his schedule. He's just being patient. Why hasn't he returned yet? For your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. I don't know this for sure again, but you know what I think is happening in heaven this very second? I think, it says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. I think God the Father is saying to Jesus right now, this is D-Day. Get on your white horse. It's showtime. Out of the pool. It's time to go end the world as we know it. I'm sending you today. And I picture just saying, all right. And he gets on his white horse, and he's ready to come today. But then I picture God saying, but just wait a minute. Wait a minute. Connection Point is trying to get ready for this. Let's give him another. This series is going to be 6 weeks. Let's give him 6 more weeks. Or at a minimum, today. Let's give him one more chance, because I want everybody to be ready. That's the only reason we're doing this. We want you to be ready. And you know what? We say this world's getting so bad. Why didn't Jesus return? Because some of you haven't turned to Christ yet. Come on. We want to get this show on the road here. Make your decision. Now, he's going to blow the whistle when he blows the whistle, when he knows everybody who's decided is going to follow him. But we know right now we have today, and we have it for one reason only, that we have this opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and ready for eternal life with God. Okay? Now, if some of you are dead set, by the way, you're going, Steve, give us the date, dude. Give us the date. Well, look at the next verse, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Sorry, not giving you the date. We're not going to know. We're going to be surprised. And then the heavens are going to pass away with this terrible noise. And the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. By the way, how many of you remember biology class when you memorized the elements? Remember something about the elements? They're all what? Flammable. You know, the Bible's accurate when it addresses scientific things. It's always spot on. The elements of this earth are going to melt in the heat, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve the judgment. That's pretty serious stuff. So, what have we learned about the last days? Well, let me suggest some things that we have learned. Here's the first one. He tells us people are going to be distracted. Non-believers are going to say, Jesus said he's going to return in the world. Really? I haven't heard that my whole life. It hasn't happened. And by the way, every time you hear somebody on the media or somebody tell you, I don't believe in God and Jesus returning, you just know, uh-oh, we're getting close. The more you hear people questioning that, the closer we're getting, Jesus said, to the day. The more distracted people become, the more likely he's going to be returning. And by the way, it's not just those out there who aren't thinking about it. Are you thinking much about the end of the world? Are you obsessed with the stuff in this world? Are you really looking forward? Today, if I ask you, are you looking more forward to your plans this week? Or would you be more excited if Jesus returned this week? Don't answer too quickly. So we have this perspective we're supposed to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we don't think about the troubles that we see right now, right? Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. The things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see, they are going to last forever. Say, so what are you wanting us to take home from this? Here's what I want you to take home. These are your last days. Whether these are the last days to end the world, I don't know, but I do know these are your last days. Your days are numbered, and you don't have much more to live compared to eternity. James 4:14 describes your life this way. How do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and it's gone. I'm going to talk about suicide in 2 weeks because we've had a 40-year-old, 40-some-year-old, and a 30-some-year-old in the last 3 months who've taken their lives. And so we're going to talk about suicide. A week ago, a member of our church was riding his motorcycle down Main Street. And just like that, a car pulled out and drags him for 50 feet. I saw him on Friday, and they had to amputate his leg. And he is on fire for God. And he can't wait for me to interview him, for you can hear his story. Because he can't focus on what he can see right now, or he's going to be discouraged. He's focusing on what he can see beyond this life and the difference he can make in this life, even when he's going through the trial of this life. Your life can be changed that quick. One person pulling out, your life can be changed. You're just a dash. Okay, you want to know about you? Walk through a funeral home today, and you'll see this dash between numbers. That's all you are. You have a start date. You have an end date. You don't know when it's going to be, and you're just that dash. You're just passing through. It's only temporary. So don't get hung up on the bills and the troubles. I know there's things to get hung up on. Don't worry whether Tom Brady gets 4 weeks or not. Don't worry about that. Don't worry if we're going to beat the Patriots by 30 points or 90 points. It doesn't matter. I'm hoping for 90. Hope we get to see it. But it's only temporary stuff. Okay, this really isn't the scheme of things. It's not the big deal. Don't get distracted by the stuff in your world. Here's the second thing that I see from Scripture. People are going to forget about God. It says scoffers are going to come. A generation will actually walk away from God. Can you imagine that happening? Let me talk to you about what's happening today. The gospel, the good news of Christ, is exploding all around the world, except for in the United States of America. You know what's happening in China today? 35,000 people in China will call on the name of Christ to save their sins. Today. Did you hear that? Okay, almost 10% now. 9.8% of the 1.3 billion people living in China are now following Jesus Christ. It's an absolute revival happening there. The church in America is going like this. There are churches that are growing. We are one of them. It's a very small growth compared to the kind of growth happening around the world. But we're told that's going to continue to happen. Well, what's really happening in our country? Let me give you four words that all start with a B. This will tell you what's happened in our country. There are people who are called the builder generation, those who were born between 27 and 45. Those are my parents. Their generation, two-thirds of them, believe the Bible and Jesus Christ. They're Bible-driven believers, two-thirds of them. Then there's my generation, the boomers, born between 46 and 64. It drops in half. Only one-third of those who are baby boomers are Bible-driven followers of Christ. Think about this, by the way, before we move to the next one. Let's take that away. Sorry. No spoiler alerts. There we go. Boomers right now. Boomers now are leading our country right now. Boomers generally are the senators, the CEOs, the presidents, the pastors. And one-third of them follow the Bible. And what's happening in this country right now when one-third of them believe the Bible? Well, let's fast forward. What happens when the busters begin to lead our nation? Those born between 65 and 83. These are my kids. It drops again. Only 16% of kids, of adults who are my kids' age, are Bible-driven followers of Christ. And then there's a final group that we'll call the Bridgers, or Millennials. Those born after 1984. 4%. Are Bible-driven. Many of you have kids and grandkids who have walked away from the Bible and Christ, and you're going, oh my goodness, 96% of those in their generation are walking away from Christ. Imagine what you think of what is happening in our nation now. Imagine what our nation is going to be like when they're leading the country. When they begin to lead the churches, if the Lord delays his return, what's it going to be like? And that is why we as a church have focused on starting something called the NET, focused on those who are young adults, 30 and younger, and it's really growing. That's why we just built Kid City. That's why we're expanding our student ministry center, because we must be reaching those who are under 30 years of age as long as we have the opportunity. That's why we do some stuff in our worship center sometimes that my generation isn't so crazy about. Some of the songs, some of the volume, and it's not my favorite cup of tea. But you look around to the high school kids and college kids and young adults, and they're probably liking it. And so we're going to do some things to reach them, but we also sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," because there's a lot of people here between 35 and 75 and 80 who also enjoy the heritage of the faith of those songs. It's not about the song. It's about the heart and the words and the worship. And so let me just kind of make real sure that we understand the deal about this church here. We are, and we will continue to be until Jesus returns, very intentional about creating environments where those under 30 can connect to Jesus Christ and the church. You didn't hear me. I heard one stinking amen in this room. So let me give it another shot. I'll give you a second do-over, okay? You ready for this? Every church does not believe this, but I don't think we have a choice. And you need to know, Connection Point Christian Church will continue to do everything we can to create all kinds of environments where those in the emerging generations can find Jesus Christ in the church, and we will do it till Jesus Christ returns. Amen. Folks, we are going to do that. And we're going to continue to serve multi and intergenerationally, but man, we better be reaching out to those who are emerging, because in the last days, and those who are younger, they are more likely to forget God. It's just a sign of the last days. Number three, people are not going to be ready. We're just trying to get you ready, but people are not going to be ready. Back to verse 40 of Matthew 24, Jesus said, two men, here's what's going to happen. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. You say, wouldn't that be really cool to see that? Yes, unless the one left is the person you love. One's going to be taken, the other one left, just like that. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One who belongs to Christ is going to be taken. The other one's going to be left for the judgment. And so you too must keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. So whether or not we're living in the last days or not is not the question. Is what are you doing with your last days? Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you helping people in your life get ready? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not big on charts or blue moons. I'm just not. Computer chips. Some people talk about that, and that's fine. I'm just going to say, if you hear somebody talking about this with these charts and these dates and you write this stuff down, just write it in pencil. Are you with me? Because you don't know, and they don't know. Jesus told us we wouldn't know. Let's just make sure. Verse 36 says, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour when these things are going to happen, not even the angels in heaven. Or the Son himself, Jesus, he said, only the Father in heaven knows. No one knows. When somebody tells you they know, you just go, they don't know. My guess is Jesus is going to know before they know. And he didn't know yet. When he's told it's time, it will be time. And so what we need to do is, what are we doing with the time we have? Well, there's some good words in 1 Peter about this. Verse 4, verse 7 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be what? Be earnest, be serious about your faith. Be disciplined in your what? In your prayers. There it is. And that's why I've asked Howard Brammer next week to talk about how you can practice the presence of God, how you can really experience your whole life in a spirit of prayer. See, we look at our world as if this is reality. We have something called reality TV. I'm sorry to disappoint some of you. It's not reality. It's not reality. It really isn't. No, I heard a friend years ago who was devoted to prayer, Dr. Don DeWelt. He went to sit down with Jesus. He used to always pray, Lord, help us to focus today on the real world. The real world. He meant the supernatural world. This is a facade. It's only temporary. but there's a real world's going to last forever. So God, help me to focus today on what I cannot see. And when you begin to talk to God and you begin to understand that there is a supernatural world, that's the real world, it is eternal, there are some things you're going to get focused on. There are four things I want you to focus on starting today. Here's the first one. We need to start to think clearly. We've got to change the way we think. You know what studies tell us? Americans are asking a survey, do you believe Jesus is going to return to end the world at some point? 62% of Americans say, yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. They ask the same people, how many of you are surrendered to Christ? 8%. Excuse me? Okay, so 62% believe there's going to be an end of the world, but only 8% say they've tried to get ready for it. I don't know. I would kind of think you might want to get ready for it if you really think it's going to be happening. See, we live in this world where we have decaying bodies. Talk to me. Anybody get up this morning and go, oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go to the eye doctor in 2 weeks. I have reading glasses now. I still don't need to use glasses up here, but I may start to need to use them. We need glasses. We need surgery. We need a bypass around Indianapolis. Man, it's a bear everywhere you're trying to get, right? Oh, man, it's not a piece of cake, not for the faint of heart. We have ibuprofen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, man, how are we going to get through this thing? But this is not always going to be that way. All we have here, this is just excess baggage you're going to drag around for 70 or 80 years. So don't let the bills overwhelm you. Don't let the bitterness get a hold of you, man. You belong to God. Think clearly about that. Be driven by those issues. Number two, right today, if you've not been doing it, will you start to focus on relationships? It's all about relationships. 1 Peter 4, next verse, verse 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Listen, many of you have been wounded by other people, and you've wounded other people, and they may never ask for forgiveness. Hey, listen, don't get hung up on that. You cover over the sins by just majoring on love. You keep blessing them. You keep loving. Why? Because the only thing that's going to last are people. The hearts of people in your life, those are made to last forever by the power of God. It's the only thing that's going to be there in heaven. So invest in things that are going to last forever. One day. Everything else you see today with your eyes, man, it's going to be destroyed. So live for people. And that's why we major on small groups here. We are going to start a series, If Jesus Does Not Return Labor Day. We're going to start a new series because we want to live like he's coming tomorrow, but we want to plan like it's going to be another 1,000 years. Okay? So our next plan is to have a 6-week series. What should we be doing in light of this? We want every person here to understand, if you're here in this church, you're a leader. You're not just a disciple. You should be a discipler. You should be leading other people. So we're going to talk a lot about that. Your life, you have a life on mission. We're going to get you ready for that. So 6 weeks, we're going to focus on your life on mission. And everybody in the house needs to be in a small group for 6 weeks. So here's what you can do. We have an event called Small Group Connect event. Write down the date, Sunday, August 23rd. Hundreds of people walk in. It's like speed dating. You meet lots of people and you go, I don't want to be in a group with them. And you meet somebody and you go, can we be in a group with them? We want you to connect with people you connect with. Really, that's what it is. And so hundreds of people are going to walk in, not be in a group, they're going to walk out and be in a group, just like that. If you can just play, we're going to have tapes to show for 6 weeks. If you can just put on a DVD player, you can have a small group because you have the teaching handed out to you. So for those weeks starting September 12th and 13th, you need to get ready, so please do it and sign up today to come to that event. If you won't be at the event, talk to one of the folks in the blue shirts in the lobby. They'll help you get ready so that we're all in a group and can focus on relationships, because when you focus on relationships and you focus on God, you begin to find out what life is really about, okay? Here's the third thing we need to do. You can hear one leads to the other. We need to start serving. I'm talking today. Very next verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, so use them well to what? To serve who? One another. God's given you some gifts and talents, not just to provide so your family can eat. He's given you gifts to bless other people. And some of you can serve other people. There are people right now sitting behind cameras. Wave at them. Are you serious? You're sitting in worship there behind a stinking camera for every service. There's some people back in a room, and all they're seeing is the PowerPoint, so you can follow this. That's what they do all morning, so you can see this. I received a note from a guy this past week, goes to another church, and he has some friends in this church who said, hey, we're studying about hope. They lost a baby. They lost a child, and he was ready to give up. And they were desperate. They said, you know what, at our church, we're focusing on hope. Would you watch these messages online? And the guy sent me a note on my break, and he said, I have hope for the first time in forever watching the messages. Thank your production team for putting those messages on the website. Because they're doing that, that's happening. And people around the world can sit and be a part of the same thing. Some of you are kid magnets. Some of you watched me with the kids, and you went, ugh. There's no way you want to be over there. Some of you, you would love to be over there. Some of you hate kids. God wants you to learn to love them. You need to sign up and go there and learn. Learn to love them, okay? I mean, really, you can do that. Listen, we may jump 1,000 people with Kid City. We're going to need a lot of new workers. I'm serious, okay? So if you have a gift for students, young adults, for children, all kinds of ways you can serve. You can serve, and so it's not a matter, am I going to serve this year? No, the question is, how am I going to serve? I mean, how can I not be serving and blessing other people in light of this news? It's too important. So it's about really, blessing God. The goal of this church is not to have these services where we pack into a room and enjoy music and listen to some teaching. That's not the end game. The goal is to get you ready to make the most of life and to love people and love God in your life. That's the whole goal. And so that's why we're having this all-church study, Life on Mission, September, October, if the Lord tarries. 1 Peter, next verse, 4 verse 11. Do you have the gift of helping other people? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies for you. And everything you do, bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Man, we live in the greatest time of the history of the world. Now listen to me. I've given you a semester study in 40 minutes. Can you give me 2 more minutes? That was overwhelming. Some of you are going, no, I want brunch, man. I mean, you know. Seriously? No. Can you give me 2 more minutes? All right, here we go. Listen, you have to hear this. Christians in the history of the world have never lived in the time we're living in today. Our world is exploding in population growth and in opportunities to connect people to Christ because of the power of media and things like that. Listen, you won't believe this. Here's a stat that'll fire you up. More people have surrendered to Christ in the last 10 years on this planet than in the previous 2,000 years combined. Tell me these aren't the last days. Islam, give you one more stat. Islam was founded in 700 AD. From 700 AD, for the next 1,300 years, there was almost zero conversion growth, zero conversions from Muslim to Christianity. You know what's happened in the last 12 years? Put on your seatbelts. 7 million Muslims a year for the last 12 years have converted to Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we don't have time to not be practicing the presence of God. You got to be kidding me. We have to practice His presence where we live and work and go to school, in the heart of the city where people are so hurting, and our partnerships around the world. And so if it's 11:30, but dude, if it's here, are you kidding me? If you really believe it's here, you're going to pray all you can pray. I know you will if you really believed it. You'd serve all you could serve. You'd try to bless every single person you see in some kind of way. If you really believe this was the timetable, yeah, you'd be on it. If these are our last days, you'd be thinking clearly about heaven. You'd be focusing on people. You'd be serving other people. You'd be praying. Now listen very carefully. We're going to plan 3 nights of prayer in the middle of the week this month. Do you think that if we just say we're going to have a night of prayer in this room, that we could fill this room and people would come just to pray in the middle of the week? You're not getting me excited. I mean, come on. I know we're busy, but do you think we can fill this place? 3 nights of prayer in the middle of the week. We don't dare talk about these topics without looking to God. Do you think we can fill this place just to come and pray? Yes. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We have to do it. This is our time. It is our moment. All of history is moving toward this moment, and we get to be here at this time. And so the 4th thing we better do is receive God's grace if you haven't received it. Please, don't wait another moment. Here's the last passage I'm going to read before we take communion. 2 Peter 3, verse 11. You want to close your eyes or just want to focus on the words? Would you hear these words from the Spirit of God? Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly life should you live? I mean, looking forward to the day of God. And God hurrying it along. God, make it quick. And on that day, he's going to set the heavens on fire. And the elements are going to melt away in the flames. But we, oh man, we're not scared by this. We're looking forward to this. The new heavens and the new earth that's been promised to us. A world filled with the righteousness of God. Don't you want to see a world filled with the righteousness of God? And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every single effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in God's sight. And remember, our Lord's patience is just giving people in your life time to be saved, and maybe you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from the judgment for eternity with God. We have a class called Discover Connection Point where you can really focus in for 2 weeks on what it means here to connect to Christ and serve. The dates are going to be the two Saturdays, September 15th and 22nd. Or if you'd rather do the class on Sunday, September the 16th and 23rd. So if you're not connected here yet, I would say right now would be a great time to sign up for that. And we're going to celebrate together and grow together and remember Christ's sacrifice together. You know, Jesus said every time you drink this emblem that represents the blood of Christ, and you take of the bread that represents the body of Christ, you are proclaiming Jesus' death and his second coming. And you're going to do this every week until you drink it with Jesus in heaven. There's some people you know who've died, who've gone to be with Christ. They're sitting at the table having communion with Jesus today. And that can be your future. And that's what we need to focus right now. So hold the emblems. We'll partake in unison until one day we drink it with him. Let's pray. Oh God, wake us up. Help us to be alert. Help us to really be on point. That is, on mission. Help us to spend every moment we have learning how to practice your presence, to talk with you and to walk with you and to hear from you and to represent you. We're never going to have it all together. We're strugglers here. We're a mess here. But we found grace greater than our sin. And some today who call upon your name in this moment and begin the journey, and let folks know after the service in the front of the building or in the lobby. They're starting the journey. What do I do next? Some need a Bible. We'll give them a Bible to get started and to grow. But God, meet us where we are and take us where you want us to be. Get us ready for your return, but get us prepared to make the most of every single day for the rest of our lives. As we remember Christ, may we now live for Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name.